After nearly 2 weeks, the city of Madison cleared the protest encampment that had blocked a busy intersection where a police shooting took place. It's Wednesday, August 5th. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Courtney Everett. Coming up, Democratic candidate for governor David Crowley raised twice as much money in July as frontrunner Francesca Hong.
I think it reflects Democratic Party leaders at long last coordinating around a single alternative to Hong.
And last week, a devastating tornado destroyed homes in the Fox Valley. Residents there face a long path to rebuilding. Stay with us.
What started with one experimental license more than 100 years ago is today Wisconsin Public Radio. With dozens of stations around the state, an app, and a comprehensive website at WPR.org. Thank you to our donors who made this journey possible.
Madison officials forcibly cleared an encampment that had been blocking an east side intersection for nearly 2 weeks. Police said late yesterday they had arrested at least 16 people. As Sarah Lear reports, demonstrators pitched tents at the site where a Madison officer fatally shot a black man on July 22nd.
Bulldozers and street sweepers rolled through the intersection of Baldwin and Williamson Streets Tuesday morning. As people chanted, Samuel Brooks of Portage recalled seeing construction equipment roll through the encampment before dawn.
We had a unhoused couple. I think there were two people still sleeping in a tent. We were trying to wake them up and get them out.
Brooks was cited for resisting police. Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway says the city initially sent in Streets Division and mental health workers to tell people to leave. She says police got involved after people started fires and threw rocks. Tuesday's actions followed a series of warnings from the mayor. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Despite being out of the Democratic primary for governor during much of July, David Crowley still raised more than twice as much money as polling frontrunner Francesca Hong last month. Rich Kramer reports.
Between July 1st and July 27th, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley raised well over $750,000. That included $20,000 from Governor Tony Evers. State Representative and Democratic Socialist Francesca Hong raised around $339,000. University of Wisconsin-La Crosse political science professor Anthony Chergosky says Crowley's fundraising surge tells a story.
I think it reflects Democratic Party leaders at long last coordinating around a single alternative to Hong.
Meanwhile, Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany raised around $4.6 million, mostly with the help of two GOP mega donors. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
New campaign finance reports indicate a chaotic end to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez's campaign for governor. Days after she dropped out of the race, her campaign reported that it reimbursed the Wisconsin Forward Fund almost $53,000. The report says that the campaign borrowed the money in error. The Wisconsin Forward Fund spent hundreds of thousands of dollars running ads promoting Rodriguez, but the group organized as a 501c4. Those are issues advocacy groups that cannot mix finances with a political campaign, according to the law. The reimbursement came a day after Rodriguez donated $20,000 to her own campaign. Rodriguez's campaign treasurer referred WPR's questions about the report to her finance team. Governor Tony Evers says rural residents in the stores where they shop for groceries will be hurt by new rules for federal food aid. As Hope Kerwin reports, the governor voiced his concerns in a letter to the U.S. Department of Agriculture yesterday.
Grocery and convenience stores accepting benefits from the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, will be required to stock more types of foods and more perishable items starting in November. USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins has said the new rule will ensure participating stores carry healthy food options. But in a letter to Rollins, Evers said the rule will force small stores out of the program, leaving rural residents or those in underserved urban areas with fewer options for food. USDA estimates 5,000 stores across the country will lose eligibility under the new requirements. That's more than double the number that are disqualified each year under current rules. Evers urged Rollins to rescind the new requirement and reverse other recent changes to SNAP, pointing to the tens of thousands of Wisconsinites who have lost benefits in the past year. Hope Curran, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A new Department of Education rule will cut off access to federal student loans for college programs whose graduates consistently earn low incomes. Undergraduate programs will be required to demonstrate that their graduates earn more than the median high school diploma holder. That's about $42,000 a year. Jeffrey Morin heads the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. He says similar rules existed under the Biden administration, but only applied to for-profit schools.
Now, because it's being so broadly applied, it really does start to impact things that are really important in our communities, things like counseling and mental health services, social work, early childhood education.
Graduate programs will be required to demonstrate their students will earn more than someone with a bachelor's degree. Coming up after the break, more than a week later, we still don't know the full scope of the destruction caused by a tornado that hit the Fox Valley, and residents there are still grappling with all they've lost. Stay with us.
Support for WPR comes from the state of Wisconsin, business sponsors, and tens of thousands of members who contribute. Thank you to everyone who makes WPR possible, on air, on the app, and at WPR.org.
A tornado with wind speeds up to 140 miles per hour ripped through the Fox Valley last week, leaving catastrophic damage to homes and businesses in its wake. As Joe Schultz reports, the community is in the early stages of what's expected to be a long recovery effort.
Menasha resident Chris Silver was working in Sturgeon Bay when an EF3 tornado struck around noon last Monday. His 12-year-old son was still at home. As the storm blew through, Silver raced through debris and down power lines to get back to him. All he could think about was making sure his son was okay.
He hid in the basement. I just got through going under all these electrical wires in my work vehicle to see my kid. How did these other people feel? They were home. Praise the Lord, we're okay.
Silver's home is located in an especially hard-hit neighborhood near Plank Road and Manderfield's Bakery. Silver says it's one of the few on the block that hasn't been ripped to shreds.
I feel absolutely terrible for my neighbors. They're picking through their stuff, their whole lives, everything, their kids' clothes, and it's gone. Our whole neighborhood, it's gone.
As he spoke, Silver looked out on almost unimaginable destruction. Some homes were completely gone. All that was left were scattered piles of lumber, drywall, and insulation. Others were shifted off foundations or left with walls torn away to reveal rooms inside. A neighborhood that had been untouched that morning was now a sea of debris. The National Weather Service says the tornado developed over Appleton around noon and tracked south for 12 miles before dissipating over Lake Winnebago. Menasha and Fox Crossing were the hardest hit communities. Governor Tony Evers declared a state of emergency and deployed the Wisconsin National Guard. More than 50 service members have been sent to assist in Menasha, Nina, and Fox Crossing. Winnebago County Executive Gordon Hintz made the request.
National Guard exists to help sustain recovery efforts, and so they're really partners in the process.
Dozens of buildings were destroyed, and even more sustained serious damage. Despite the level of destruction, there were no fatalities or serious injuries. In the days immediately after the storm, Menasha Mayor Austin Hammond urged those who do not live in affected areas to stay away.
If you don't need to be in the city of Menasha, please don't. Residents in our community are going through some of the darkest moments of their life right now.
Emergency management officials are conducting damage assessments this week to try to quantify the scale of destruction. That's part of the process of gathering information to make a request for federal disaster relief. Menasha resident Douglas Johnson was visiting his mother in Appleton when the storm hit. He came home to find his house on 3rd Street torn to pieces. The house was leaning off its foundation, the front wall ripped off. Part of the second floor had collapsed.
The whole top of it's gone. Everything else is gone inside. It's like it was gutted out by wind.
Other nearby buildings were completely destroyed. As he spoke, he looked toward what had been his neighbor's home.
You can see it's just one big pile. That was a house.
While Johnson wasn't home when the tornado hit, his dog was.
She crawled underneath the crawl space in my bed, and that's where we found her. She's alive.
Down the street, Wayne Bokelman's home suffered major storm damage as well. He also wasn't home when the tornado ripped through.
I was at work. My wife called and said the house was like a train, and then it got calm, and then she came upstairs and she said there's just water all over and part of the roof was gone.
Even though his house was badly damaged, Bokelman says the storm didn't take everything.
What we're doing now is we're just getting some pictures that mean something and some clothes, and we're going to probably stay down by my sister in Oshkosh.
Chris Silver, who drove through the storm to get to his son, was still reeling in the hours after making it home.
I don't care about any of this stuff. That could be replaced. But my family, my community, we need help.
The cleanup is expected to take time, but officials say they've seen a groundswell of support. More than 3,000 volunteers showed up on Saturday alone. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And now for a check of the forecast. Partly cloudy north to mostly cloudy south today. Scattered showers are also likely south and possibly thunderstorms. Highs will reach in the mid to upper 70s statewide. Tonight, partly cloudy and some patchy fog. Lows will drop between the upper 40s to mid 50s. And tomorrow, sunny to partly cloudy and seasonal, with highs reaching in the low 80s. And looking ahead to Friday, partly sunny with a 30% chance of storms in the evening to the north. And that's all for Wisconsin Today Morning News on this Wednesday. Thanks so much for checking out our podcast. And if you like what you hear or have any comments on what you would like to hear, just email us at newscasts@wpr.org. And a special shout out to our producer today, Evan Casey. We'll see you back here for more news tomorrow.